I'm deducting this from Craig's pay. He was supposed to push this up here in front. Well, thanks, Craig, and Ashley and Emily, thank you as well. Ashley and Emily are my daughters, daughter-in-law, daughters, and I enjoy hearing them sing, you know, whenever I get the chance. I'm Dan Wheeler. Pastor Andy Rainey is away in California, so in his absence, I'll be filling in. About 7 weeks ago, I had the privilege of sharing with you a story of the lost or prodigal son. So this morning, I'm going to try to continue where I left off. If you've missed it and would like to catch up, it is the ninth week of our Bible story series. The week, I think it was June 11th on Facebook, where all of our messages are housed. You can see any of the messages that are shared here at Blue Ash Community. You can also find them on iTunes as well. Well, I hope you've been able to find a common theme throughout all the messages, all the sermons that have been delivered here at Blue Ash Community Church, that Jesus tries to connect with sinners in everything that he does, that he points to a one common thing, and that thing is the value in following him. Last time I shared three stories, a story about a lost coin, a lost sheep, and a lost son. There was a whole lot of loss going on there. But reality is that most of us, if we really thought about it, are so lost that we don't really even know what it is that we want out of life or what we truly value. And even if we thought that we did, it's really hard to maintain a focus, even for 1 week, to achieve what we're trying to achieve. Our very nature in life, our desires to control our life, our outcome, has caused this separation between us and God. Well, the main point of these stories were meant to show us how important we are to God, how much God values us. That's what the whole story was about, how much God values us. Think about your own children. You know, I look back at Rory back there, you know, Angie and Adam. Don't you just want the best for her? You know, absolutely, with all your being, you want the best for her. Our God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, he wants and values what's best for us as well. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes a life trial or something bad, a failure in our life to get our attention, that draws our attention, almost like the financial failure of the prodigal that we had in our last story. Well, these stories illustrate how very different God is. Jesus is trying to tell us just how much our Heavenly Father values us. You know, it's hard to remember that. But remember how he reacted to the son in the story. He put a robe on his back, a ring on his finger, put shoes, sandals on his feet, and then had a big party to celebrate his return. God truly loves and values us. You know, I can't really say that enough, but let's suppose for just one moment, that what I'm telling you is absolutely true, that God really does value us, and we are just that important to God. Now, what do you think the next likely question that Jesus would have for us? What do you think his next point would be? Well, I think maybe it would be, what do we value? What do you value? What are the things that are important in your life? Jesus continued to share with the group that had gathered around to listen to him. He shared a story about a shrewd manager, and it's found in the 16th chapter of Luke. And it reads like this. Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot manage any longer." The manager said to himself, What am I going to do now? What should I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do. When I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, "How much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, so that when it's gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwellings." Now, this is a particularly difficult story to teach from, you know, because Jesus tells it from a story of how the world views things, how the world behaves. He's using it as an illustration. You know, we have a tendency to get hung up on all the little details of a story, and we completely miss the point. You know, we're thinking about how bad this guy is. Now, Jesus ends this lesson with this comment. He says, "What people value highly, what we value highly, what people value highly is detestable. It's detestable in God's sight." I think we can all agree that the way this man behaved was detestable. He's not a good guy. He is probably not somebody that any of us would trust very much. So what is it that we can learn here? What is the point that Jesus is trying to get across to us? I believe he's trying to get across to us the point that we need to determine what it is that we value most, and then go out and try to figure out how to achieve it, how to get it, how to accomplish it. Now, it's a process, and I'm going to tell you over and over and again, it's not a natural one. It's a process that we have to go through. So this morning, I have two simple questions for you, and the first is, what do you value? And the second will be, what's keeping you from it? Do you realize that what you value and what you want usually aren't the same thing? I want you to think about this. What we value and what we want usually aren't the same. For example, what I might value financial security, financial stability. But what do I want? I want a nicer house. I want that new car. You know, I want to take that exotic vacation. Can't you feel the internal conflict between what you want and what you really truly value in life? I'm an engineer by education and practice, so I'm used to developing processes for solving problems and getting what we truly value, out of life. It is a problem, and there are a lot of variables that attack this problem or involved in this problem. About 30 years ago, when my kids were still young, I started to do a little soul searching. I started to think about what it was that I valued, you know, what it was that I wanted out of life, who I wanted people to see me as. You know, I wanted to present this image. So I read a lot of books. You know, I took a couple classes, one that was a Stephen Covey program, and in it is where I began to formalize what it was that I valued. I formally started to put it down into writing. And it was one of those exercises that was in the class that required this. And if it's something that you haven't already done in your life, I would challenge you to do it. You know, just to take a little bit of time to write down the things that you value. One of the exercises in this Covey program was to view yourself at your own funeral. You know, to see yourself in the coffin and see them having the funeral service, people coming up one at a time, what would they say about you? What would you want them to say about you? You know, somebody from your family, somebody from the place where you work, maybe somebody right from here at church. What would they say? What would they say about you? Which leads me to the question, Who is it that you really want to be? You know, it's a value question, isn't it? What do you value? What is it in your life that you value? One of, you know, the process that I'm talking about is really, really simple. You start at the end of your life and you work backwards. It's kind of like a roadmap when you want to go somewhere. You know where you want to end up, and you take the roads to get where you want to be. So you pick what type of person, who you want to be, and you work it backwards. Every value, every decision that you make is based upon where you want to end up. You know, it's I've had the privilege, the opportunity to sit with many people as they faced the final few days of their lives, you know, and I've listened to the joys that they've shared, and I've also got to listen to their regrets in life. Both of them were centered around the who's in their lives, not the what's. They were all involving people. It was all about people. It wasn't about things. People, it was people that was important to them. You know, it's really not hard. It's not hard at all to figure out what you value, is it? Get your phone out and open up your calendar, your Outlook. Where are you spending your time? What are you putting your time into? That'll determine what you value. Open up your credit card statement, your checkbook. Where are you spending your money? That's going to tell you what you value, won't it? What you're doing. So what is it that you do value? What do we value? Most people never slow down. They never stop long enough to think about what it is, what this question that I'm asking you. So I'm challenging you this morning at least as a minimum to think about it. I would really like you to take the time to write it down. And if you want more of I'm an old guy. If you want some more of a current illustration, look at Facebook. What about your posts? Aren't your posts what you hope that the world will see you as? A reflection of how you want the world to see you? You know, the things that you put on Facebook? You want the world to see you that way. It's not hard to understand that's how you get there. You present yourself a certain way. You make decisions a certain way. But choosing what we value is unnatural. And it's something that only you can figure out for yourself. I can't determine what you value. Only you can think about and determine what it is that you value. So what is it that we value? What am I talking about? A few simple core values, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but a few simple ones for your family. I value influencing my children, my grandchildren, in a positive manner. James Dobson wrote a book about parenting. I don't recall the name of it. But, you know, it talked about what type of child do you want to raise. Do you want to raise that golden child, that star child that everybody applauds? Or do you value a child that's kind and compassionate and generous? You know, that's a value thing, isn't it? What do you really value? Trouble is, in this world, most people look and want to applaud the star child. That's what they draw their attention to. You know, I personally value what my children think about me. Do they see me as an honest person? You know, honesty comes with a cost, doesn't it? If every time they see me answering a question and I got to be honest about it, it's probably going to cost me something. Now, honesty hurts sometimes. You know, I hope they see me as a generous person to other people, not just with money, but also with my time, that I'm willing to give my time to other people. As my spiritual life goes, I might say that I value reading the Bible. I value my prayer time. But I got to tell you, I have been falling asleep on God a lot lately. You know, I'll be laying in bed instead of getting up. Bam, half hour goes by and I'm wake up again. You know, I didn't even finish my prayer. It's a problem. I might value sharing my faith with other people. As far as my health or my body goes, I value my appearance, my weight, my health, my rest. Are you taking a break? You know, are you guarding your sleep? These are all kinds of value questions that you can ask yourself. Socially, do you value a good reputation? Or maybe education, do you enjoy reading new books? Career-wise, are you staying current in your field? You know, those are things that you can value. And financially, an easy one. I enjoy being financially responsible. But in these days, in this country, that's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, you know, you're pulled so many different ways. But this all in itself is a 6 to 8 week small group just by itself. And so I can't really get into a lot of details, but it's something that you have to do and determine for yourself. All of these things are important if you really know, want to know where it is that you're going to end up in your life, if you really want to know what you truly value. And as simple as all of this seems, it takes a lot of time, a lot of time to develop meaningful values, not just simple ones, ones that mean something to you, that will be lifelong, that will make your life important to you, that that you can be pleased with, and you end it with no regrets. You know, if you've come up with this set of values, I applaud you, but you will find, as I have, that things come up regularly that conflict with the very things that you say you value. The world doesn't advertise values. The world does not direct you towards these values. They pull you away from it. They advertise the things that you want. They advertise the new car. They advertise things like potato chips. Now, Jesus, in this very set of story, told a very familiar verse. It says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now here, money is not always currency. It's anything that we seek before God. Now, before we move on to the next part of this process, I want to share the word regret. I brought it up a little bit earlier when I was talking about the funeral. Do you guys have any regrets? I mean, most of you are pretty young. You know, I've got a few regrets in my life. I'm getting a little older, But I want you to think about the word regret. Do you know what a regret is? A regret is what you end up with when there is no more opportunity to change the outcome. When you've taken that path so far down that you can't change it. That's what a regret is. And if we don't take and evaluate our opportunities and our values and our self as we go along, I can guarantee you that we're going to end our lives with a whole lot more regrets than if we do look at the things that we value. Like I've said, a good place to start is in this book that's outlined in Stephen Covey's book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Now, I've read the book many, many times, and I can tell you it's a book that is consistent with biblical teachings. It's a secular book, a business book, but it is built and written with Bible fundamentals. Now, the process of thinking, this process that I'm sharing with you today, it doesn't matter whether you believe that Jesus Christ came to earth to save you or not. What I'm sharing with you today is beneficial to you whether you've accepted Jesus, whether you believe that there's a God who loves you, that's important to you. This is important for anybody to believe. So I'm going to ask you, what's keeping you, what's keeping us from the things that we value? Well, let me give you a simple example, a personal simple example. One of my core values is my weight. I've got a bad back, I always have. And, I need to watch my weight or at least try to keep it manageable. The other night, and this has been in the last couple weeks, I opened up the kitchen pantry, and there on the shelf was a family-sized bag of Mike Sells Groovy Potato Chips. Oh, you know where the story's going, don't you? I sat down, and I ate the whole bag, all the way to the bottom of it. And as I took that last chip, I didn't just think it. I said it out loud. You idiot. You idiot. I'd like to blame my wife. After all, she's the one that bought them, right? She bought them for me. But she came in, and she pointed out as soon as she saw the chips gone that those were for the cookout, for the entire family, for everybody. And I don't know. We want what we want, don't we? Isn't that the truth? We want what we want. Well, guarding what we value is an everyday struggle. Every single day, we have to look at what we value and see if it's fitting in with our value system. Let me share with you what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome to put this struggle in perspective. In the Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 19, it says, and this is kind of confusing, so I'm going to read it slow. "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. It sounds familiar. It's kind of hard to understand, but it does sound familiar. It seems like it's the story of my life. You know, I'm consistently asking myself why. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I eat those chips? Why did I say that? Why did I buy that? I don't even really want it. Why? What the heck is wrong with me? You know, that I do the things that I do. You know, I'm being honest with you. And if you guys are honest with yourself, I believe you can relate to what I'm saying. You can kind of feel my pain. So what's keeping us? What is keeping us from getting what we value? Now, James wrote, a half-brother of Jesus, wrote one of my favorite books in the Bible. And he had a way of writing some 2,000 years ago that is still so meaningful to me today. And here's how he answered the question why and how and why I'm not getting what I value. He says in the first chapter, "But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed." This is simply our human nature, isn't it? It's our human nature. We're born this way. We have a tendency to desire things that lead us astray. You know, it's our nature. And our nature rarely points us in a direction that is ultimately in our best interests. Our nature doesn't put us in the line or the path of the things that we value most. I want you to consider nature for a minute. And I'm not talking about the nature we find in our backyard or in the parks or in the zoo. You know, I'm talking about the nature we find in the jungle or in the open sea. You know, nature truly is not our friend, is it? It's unforgiving, has no compassion. Nature is truly without mercy. And that's our nature. There's no mercy in nature. It can truly devour us if we don't give it the respect that it deserves. When we embrace our own nature, don't we find love, joy, peace, patience, kindness? That's what we'd like to find, but that's not what you really find, is it? Who are you trying to kid? That's not what you find. What we find is revenge, cheating, lying, anger, me first, racism, adultery, drunkenness. We only have to go as far as the open road to see our true nature, to see the ugly nature of who we really are. It's even got a name, road rage. I don't know, it's a me first fest out there. You know, there's cheating, revenge, getting even, and even murder. I mean, it really is ugly on the road sometimes. But that might not be this group of people. I mean, I don't think any of you would do that out on the road. But what about envy or jealousy? What about those things? You know, tell me, and you don't have to tell it audibly, but think to yourself, don't you feel that least little bit of spark of satisfaction when that person that's always just a little better than you, the person that you kind of compete with, has some kind of a misgiving? Maybe they don't get the promotion that they want, or their kid doesn't make the team. Inside, we celebrate just a little bit. You know, you might not admit it to anybody, but somewhere inside you, you kind of get this tinge of satisfaction that they didn't make it. Where do you think that comes from? What's in us? It's in you, and it's in me. It's in all of us. These are the things that keep us from getting what we really, really value. Let's look back again at what James said. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. What drags you away? What is it that drags you away? What drags me away? Even when we're trying to do the right thing, we're doing our best, we feel we're on the right track, what is it that gets your interest? What comes along and drags you away? We know what we want. I can be positive of what I'm going after. Something comes along, it catches my eye, it catches my attention, and I'm off doing something completely different than what I thought I was going to do. And most of the time, I don't even realize that I've gotten dragged away. I don't even realize that I've gotten off a track of what I really wanted. Maybe it's an old habit, an opportunity that comes along. Maybe it's an offer of some type of immediate gratification. Well, my friends, don't be deceived. Don't trade what you value for something as simple as what you naturally want. Because I want to tell you this morning, it is not a fair trade. You're trading something of lower value for something of higher value. So what is it that's important to you? Do you keep getting distracted from it? Let me go back and ask you the two questions that I asked you at the very beginning of this message. What is it? What do you value? And what's keeping you from it? You know, our Heavenly Father wants what's best for us, just like we want what's best for our own children, our own kids. He's laid out a path for us. It's very simple. He's laid out a path for us to follow, just like a roadmap. We simply have to embrace what we value over what we naturally want. What we really want, if we really think about it, is not really far off from what God wants for us. You know, what we value is not very far off from what God wants for us. He wants joy and peace in our lives. Doesn't that sound good to you? I know it sounds good to me, the joy and peace in my life. I'd love to live the rest of my life full of joy and at peace. But you know, until we recognize and are moved by the sacrifice that God made for us, we'll never truly be able to follow Jesus that way. Until we are moved and really understand the sacrifice that he's made, we're never going to be able to take those steps. It's our nature. It's the sin in our lives that's caused this rift, this barrier between us and God. And it's God's initiating love for us that has given us an option. Jesus came and he paid our debt. He demonstrated how much God loves us. You know, isn't it just logical, if you know what you value, to pursue it and to follow it? God wants what's best for us, but it's still our choice. And it's a choice that we have to make each and every day. James said in Matthew 16:24, we must deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him. Simply put, we must understand what it is that we value and say no to our natural desires to be in charge. We must do our very best each and every single day to avoid the things that drag us away, that catch our interest, that pull us aside from what we truly value. And we must choose each day whose we are. We must live out each day with a heart that desires to please our Father. Remember, it's not what he wants from us. It's what he wants for us. What God wants for us that's important. I'm going to ask you this morning, what do you want for him? What do you want for him? Grab your Connect cards, if you would. They're found in your bulletins. If you didn't get a bulletin, in the back of your seats, there is a Connect card that you can grab. Fill it out. It's a way that we stay in connection with you. We're able to meet your needs. We're able to make improvements. If you have a comment about the way things are going, or have a comment about the message, or anything that we're doing here that would be beneficial, share it with us. If you have a prayer, you know, we'd love to pray for you. Put it on the comment card and drop it in the offering buckets as they come around to take them. We feel here at Blue Ash Community Church that, your Sundays should impact your Monday and your Tuesdays and every day of the week. So with that said, we're going to look at the next steps. First step, most always, accept Jesus Christ for the first time. You've got the opportunity right here and now, this very day. If you haven't done so, consider taking the steps to, making Jesus your, master and your Lord and following him. The second is committing to putting these things in writing, the things that you value. You know, it's something that you might take a couple days this week. You got an hour or two. Just look through the things that you value, your spiritual life, your family life, you know, your financial life. See if you can get a couple of them in order and decide what it is that you value, who it is that you want to be, how you see yourself when you end this life. And then number three, instead of a next step towards, this is a step away. I challenge you to step away from the things that are dragging you away, things that are keeping you from what you say you value. So as the ushers come forward, I'd ask you just drop those cards in the bucket. And again, as Craig said, there are Bibles in the back. If you don't have one, please feel free to grab one. And the first-time visitors, there's a coffee mug in the back for you. We celebrate communion each and every week here at Blue Ash Community Church. The juice represents the blood of Jesus, and the crackers, the body. This is a celebration that all believers will celebrate in the eternal feast all through time with Jesus and God our Father. You are welcome to come through. And up front, there will be a prayer team. If you would like to come forward, you have something to pray about, feel free to come forward and pray. We'd love to have you with us praying. Would you stand and pray with me now? Father God, we just love and appreciate how much you value us, that you have provided for our every need. We are thankful, so thankful that you value us, that we are that important to you. We pray that we would be able to set aside our wants and desires to what we really value, to seek it. We pray that you would just be glorified in the decisions that we make. And at the end of our lives, that you would look at us and say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because that's truly, truly what we need to value. Being part of your household, part of your family. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray.